This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaver.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
This is Hobbo. Frank normally opens, but he's mopping up some water that he just spilled all over the counter. It happens. It happens. You know, you got to have a little glass of water to keep the voice ready to go. But anyway, welcome to Who's Talking. We welcome the Wahoo faithful, the sports radio listeners, ACC fans, one and all. Thanks for tuning in tonight. As you can tell, Hobbo's in a better mood tonight because of Saturday. I was a little discouraged here in recent weeks, but the Who's that I know and love finally showed up on Saturday afternoon in Louisville. So I'm in a much better mood.
I tell you what, there's some serious defense played by the Wahoos on Saturday. Had to like the on-the-ball coverage of the dribblers. Virginia jumped the passing lanes and challenge shots. And defensive rebounding was improved. And probably the thing that I'd take away most from the game, Hobbo, was Mike Toby, 22 minutes. And check out his line. He was 4-7 from the field.
Checking it out as you speak here.
He was 1-2 from the foul line, 4 rebounds. He had 9 total points, 2 steals, 1 block shot, 1 assist, I think. No assists. He normally gets some assists. And only 1 turnover. And he was right in the middle of the action. But what I liked is he finished a whole bunch of plays that were practically the plays of the game. Every time Virginia made 3 passes, it seemed like he was finishing right around the basket.
I think I'm going to make you the president of the Mike Toby fan club. You know, that you're hung up on the big fella. Yes, he played well, as did everybody. The main thing is Virginia got back to a defense-first orientation. It was possession by possession. They did a terrific job on Damian Lee and Trey Lewis, the 2 guards that flat lit up Virginia Tech in Louisville's prior game. And we'll talk more about this later in the show, looking ahead to the ACC schedule. Big game tonight back at the Yum Yum Center with the Cardinals entertaining North Carolina. I think Carolina is ranked 2nd in most of the polls, although I think I saw one poll where they were ranked 1st. But regardless, obviously Carolina coming in like on an 11-12 game winning streak. But I really think Louisville has a great chance to take out the Tar Heels tonight. The one thing you know, they're going to play a lot better tonight than they did on Saturday.
Well, based upon the post-game press conference and how mad Pitino was,
yeah.
I dare say those guys were probably practicing Saturday night after the game well into the wee hours.
Yeah, normally between a Saturday and a Monday game, you have what used to be called get the kinks out practice, which were my favorites, to be honest. I love those kind of practices. But my guess is
that means no running.
Yeah. my guess is Rick Pitino had the football equivalent of a workout with pads yesterday. He probably was a little irritated, and I think they had 21,700 and change in the house on Saturday, and it was pretty quiet on Saturday. The Who's took the crowd out of the game early, and the crowd never really got into it.
Well, I talked to Terry Gates today, and Terry was talking. There was a lot of grumbling amongst the fans at the Yum Center on Saturday during the game. And they're just not accustomed to having an opponent come in and run away with the game and lead by 20 for the whole second half. As it was, Virginia's 16-point margin of victory was the largest ever by a Louisville opponent
in that building.
In that building, so
which opened in 2010, and the other team that was the prior record holder was Kentucky, that had a 15-point win. And to be honest, the 16-point margin of victory, the game wasn't that close. You know, some of the walk-ons, Jeff Jones and others, came in late, made a couple of turnovers. So Louisville got some buckets late to cut it to 16. Otherwise, it probably would have been a 20-point Virginia victory. Regardless, certainly, I think even Coach Bennett said it was the most complete game the team had played all year long. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. And as I say, we'll talk about the upcoming schedule, looking ahead to Boston College, Pitt, and so forth as the show unfolds.
And let's go ahead and let our listeners know about the guest tonight. Who do we have on, Hubbo?
Chris Horn. We mentioned that last week. We're going to get an update from Chris tonight on any activity on the recruiting front. Obviously, the National Signing Day is Wednesday. So a lot of interest in football recruiting at the moment. And then later in the show, lacrosse head coach Dom Starsha will join us.
We love having Coach Starsha on because it really signifies the beginning of spring sports. Even though many spring sports are getting underway in the last week or two.
Felt like spring today.
It did. 70 degrees is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it was almost too warm.
I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago we had a blizzard. So what the heck is going on?
That's weather in Virginia. You got to love it.
Well, anyway, the studio is about 85 degrees. I don't know what's going on. Somebody's sending us a message.
They forgot to turn off the heat. You know, it's a sauna bath when we first got here tonight. So
yeah, Derek, the engineer, is sweating bullets over here, the poor guy.
I hope we don't short out the equipment with the perspiration. But
or the giant glass of water I just threw all over the console.
That's right. But it's it's drying out very nicely here.
I'll tell you what, I've run out of every Kleenex napkin I had. How about football recruiting? What's exciting is this past weekend, quite a few of the football recruits were invited into Charlottesville, and Chris Horn in a few moments will be joining us to talk about who was in attendance. We'll also talk about Bronco Mendenhall's staff's first true verbal commitment. This is the dual-threat quarterback from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
From where?
He's from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yes.
Pennsylvania.
Athletes,
you've heard of Pennsylvania?
Athletes come from Pennsylvania. I don't want you to understand that.
Of course there are aberrations. I mean, some guy from Uniontown. We're not sure how he got into Charlottesville. There is some news, some other news in addition to that young man making a verbal commitment. But everyone right now, I think this is a quasi-quiet period that will be followed by a dead period because on Wednesday morning, the fax machines and the computer scanners will be lit up as the young athletes send in their commitments. And
so you can scan it and email it these days?
Well, you can scan and send, and you can also fax and send. Rare is the day anymore that someone hand delivers or FedExes or whatever else they used to do, but it's an exciting time, and I know Coach Mendenhall and his staff, along with their good friend Marcus Hagans, are probably pretty anxious right now because I believe there's 19, possibly 20, 21 young men that could make a commitment.
Even though you have the verbal commit, and I'm sure they feel most of those are pretty solid, I'm sure you feel better once you actually get that signed document that indicates that they're on board officially.
It's
everything. And really, they're, was it two kids that they lost once the coaching change occurred?
Oh, there was three players from the state of Florida. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. Do we get the thumbs up? All right. So Chris Horn is joining us tonight. Chris, many of you know, has been on Who's Talking many times. He's always done a great job updating us on football and basketball recruiting. Tonight, though, we're focusing entirely on football. And Chris, welcome to Who's Talking.
Thanks for having me, Frank. I appreciate it.
All right. So we are down to brass tacks. Now it's down to hours, right? All right. And I know for you, this must be really exciting, tracking this all year.
Right.
Tell us about, the new verbal commitment from the young quarterback from Pennsylvania.
Right. Devontae Cross took an official visit of Virginia this past weekend and gave a verbal commitment to the Cavaliers. He is for Bronco Mendenhall's first commitment as UVA head coach. So a little bit of news there from Devontae, but certainly he's a guy that probably just over 2 weeks after Coach Mendenhall was introduced as head coach, he offered Devontae a scholarship, and they targeted him as a dual threat quarterback. Devontae attends Parkland High School in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So he was a guy that they targeted pretty early on. Of course, they didn't have, you know, Coach Mendenhall and his staff didn't have a whole lot of time to hit the class of 2016 recruiting trail, but Devontae was a guy that they targeted early on. He wants to play quarterback. He has the athletic ability to play other positions, which is always a benefit, but he's a guy that they're bringing in as a dual threat, a guy who's run the zone read option, and he's got terrific athletic ability, was the 4A Offensive Player of the Year, got a lot of passing yards. I think passing certainly is behind his ability to run the football at this point, but definitely a guy that they wanted, and they got a commitment from this past weekend.
All right, so a couple of thoughts come to mind fairly quickly. Number one, Virginia already had a quarterback committed in this young man from New Jersey, Sonny Abramson, who, based upon all reports, yours included, being a 6'3", 210 physical specimen up there in Sparta, New Jersey, which, by the way, sounds like a really tough town. I kind of like that.
Well, you got to like Pope John the 23rd High School.
The fact that there's 22 other ones is amazing. But, you know, this young man apparently by all accounts was quite the leader of the class.
Right.
And kept the class together with all his tweets and emails and faxes and, just whatever else he did, cell phone calls, because it was widely reported that this young man really wanted to keep the class together. So tell us about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the camaraderie within this class, the 2016 class, it has been pretty special. Now, they did lose some guys. Some guys did go off and commit at other places. Maybe a couple were that was their choice, but you know, a few others may have been Coach Mendenhall's choice that they felt like they just needed some other some talents elsewhere. But certainly the camaraderie for the majority of this class is pretty special. And you mentioned Sonny really is one of the ringleaders of that. They have a group chat that they do over Twitter, so they're keeping in touch all the time. And when they did have the coaching change, I know Sonny was one of the ones on that chat saying, you know, let's stay together, let's make Virginia something special. So he wants to be at Virginia, which is certainly important. And then, of course, you know, UVA with Corin Cutler departing, you know, and of course Coach Mendenhall coming in with a new offensive system, it makes sense that he wants to bring in a guy that can do some zone read options. Sonny is probably more of a, you know, pro-style pocket type of quarterback. So I think you get kind of the best of both worlds. You get a guy who has demonstrated the ability to pass the ball as a pocket guy in Abramson, and then you get a guy with Cross, who's still, I think his passing, you know, has improved, but a guy who's, you know, he's more known for his ability to run the football, and maybe more tailored to what they want to do. Although I think, you know, certainly at BYU they could go either direction with quarterback.
All right, we a player that we have not focused on very much, but we should chat him up, is Cole Blackman, a wide receiver here in Glen Allen, Virginia. Mm-hmm. We know that Billy McMullen has tutored him to some degree, and Billy has been a frequent guest, sometimes in studio, sometimes not, here at Who's Talking. And this young man was cited as one of the top 10 or 12 players in the Richmond area in this past weekend's Times-Dispatch. Talk a little bit about Cole Blackman and what you've observed, and what are his strengths?
Well, he's got terrific hands. That's the first thing when I think of Cole, the terrific hands, catches pretty much, in the times I've seen him, pretty much anything that comes his way, he gets his hands on it, catches it with his hands. So he's a natural pass catcher. He also really works hard as a receiver, and I know UVA's had, over the years has had, you know, you recruit a kid who's maybe a quarterback in high school, you're trying to switch him to receiver or something like that, and that can take time. But, you know, Cole is a guy who's played receiver. That's his craft, and that's what he loves to work at. You mentioned working with Billy McMullen, obviously a former receiver himself. So he really works hard to be better, to get better. He transferred to Atlee as a senior and really played well for a high-octane offense there. And he's got good size, 6'2". You know, he did play some slot this year as well, in addition to wide receiver. But again, a guy who, good route runner, great hands, and another guy who really wants to be there at UVA to help turn this program around. And obviously getting a guy from the Central Virginia area, certainly you want to get those in-state kids, doesn't hurt as well.
Chris, the official count of verbals is 19. Is that number right, or is that number different?
Yeah, that's correct. And then they had 23, and then or the number would be 23 if the four prospects that enrolled early did not enroll early, but they enrolled in January. So there are 19 prospects at this point that are expected to sign letters of intent on Wednesday.
All right. In addition to all those players, and we went through all of them last Monday night, might there be any surprises on Wednesday morning? Is the Cavalier football staff talking to some players that might be getting a little soft somewhere else and deciding maybe they want a chance to be a part of the new Mendenhall era here in Charlottesville?
If that's the case, the position I would look at would be offensive line. I think that's certainly a position that they need that they could use another prospect or two at. So if there is an under-the-radar prospect, which that's what part of what makes signing day so much fun, is that you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes Brandon Albert appeared on UVA signing day, and I think everybody was scrambling to find out who he was. Obviously, he turned out to be pretty good.
I would say so.
Yes,
in fact,
yes.
We could use five Brandon Alberts. All right, hey,
exactly.
Chris, we got to jump to our first break.
Sure.
We'd like to carry you over to the other side for the second segment. Can you stay with us?
Yep, sure will.
All right, stay with us. This is Who's Talking. We got our second segment with Chris Horn of the Sabres. Stay with us.